What's up, small town radio fans? Do you like money? We like money. So that's what's up. This month, we're going to be giving away $100 to the winner of our Goblin Gauntlet contest. What is the Goblin Gauntlet, you might ask? Well, let me tell you. The Goblin Gauntlet is an art contest where you guys of any skill level are going to submit drawings, painting, digital arts, whatever, of goblins to Small Town Radio. Send your submissions to at ST Radio Pod on Instagram or smalltownradiopodcast@gmail.com. Submit your entries before April 13th. And for the remainder of April, we're going to have an Instagram bracket to vote on the best piece of goblin art. And the winner of that contest gets $100. So tell your artistic friends, tell your artistic self, and get drawing. Okay, well, well, welcome to Small Town Radio. I am your quarantined host, Maxim.
And I am your quarantined host as well. And as you might be able to tell, we are not in the same room.
Yeah. Connor fled New York City like a coward. So,
hey, do what you can. These times are uncertain, really. And I'm very, very happy to have family not that far away who was pleased to take me back in once things started degrading in New York. It's not that bad yet.
It's not that bad yet. But
this is, by the time you're listening to this, things could be getting a lot worse, or things could be overblown. It seems like it's going to be somewhere in the middle, though.
I'm hoping tomorrow is the worst, and then it's only uphill from there. Downhill from there. I don't want things to get worse.
Well, what's today's the 15th, right?
Yes.
That's the day we're actually recording.
Yep.
So you'll be watching this on the 23rd. Yeah, the 23rd. And I don't know. We're obviously not the ones with the most knowledge to speculate, but if anything, I think tomorrow for New York could be the day where things, like, people are back at work and then they actually start implementing things that could create more social distancing to help prevent people from getting sick. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
I do know that I am working from home until April 6th. So I'm working home for almost a full month.
And I told my job that I am leaving for the foreseeable future. So
you quit and you ran.
I wouldn't say I quit. I was just I will be back and I hope to work. Anywhere. I mean, New York's the worst place in the United States as of the time recording.
Yeah.
New York and then just the outskirts of New Jersey. So
yeah.
Stay safe.
Wash your hands. Stay healthy. Don't touch your face.
Yeah.
If you get don't your touch your friends. Don't touch your friends. don't share toilet paper. I know there's not a lot left.
Yeah. Get a bidet? Is that how I say it? I said it wrong the other day.
What'd you say the other day?
Bo-day.
Oh, Bo-day. That's right. I remember that.
The cowboy way.
A Bo-day for a cowboy. Bay. Cowboy. Okay. I don't know. I can't make that work.
No. Yeah. No, I just, you know, got out of potential troubles way, and we'll see. We'll see what it is. But
you're really putting those cross-country skills to the test, running all the way back to New Hampshire from New York City.
And the reason why it looks like I'm filming this on a phone is because I am, because in my haste to leave, in my less than 24 hour decision, I left my camera bag in my bedroom in New York City, and I realized on the train with just not enough time to return and then still catch my train on time. So, you know, this is, you make do with what you can.
Yep. It's been a very interesting couple days in I'm not quarantined because I don't officially have it or whatever, but I am being very smart and self-isolating as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And the first day I stayed home was Thursday, and I worked from home, and I watched, I was very high anxiety about the situation, and I ended up watching Us, you know, the Jordan Peele movie.
Mm-hmm.
Horrifying. Way, like, not good. Like, I was already anxious, and then this movie was, like, crazy and scary, and I was like, oh my gosh, I am losing it. So, I've been foraging for food, meaning I've been looking for cans of beans, and I've been buying a lot of snacks, which is so dumb, but...
Yeah. I'm still, like... Yesterday and today, I'm just staying home to make sure I don't get any symptoms, because I got younger and older family that I definitely don't want to spread anything. Like, the real logic of leaving is tough to wrap your head around, because you're like, well, I'm getting out of harm's way, but also I might be the one bringing this virus to a new place.
Exactly. So, that was the fear. I was thinking about that with you especially. I was like, well, Connor's leaving, and because we're young and we're healthy, like, we might not show barely any symptoms, but also, like, you're going to a place where you have older relatives, like, you could just be carrying it and not know. But
yeah,
wash your hands, don't touch your grandparents' face.
The big thing too is, I feel like if I had waited till Monday to leave, it could be worse, because the number of number of infected cases went from somewhere around 60. Oh my goodness. Oh, was that just a cough?
Was that a dry cough? Next time I
cough,
I'll make sure to lean out of the half of the screen that I'm going to be on so you don't see it. Be like, oh, is he picking up something? Like, no, I'm coughing because I'm sick.
I really hope I'm looking in the right direction, because I pretend sometimes like I'm looking at you and nodding in agreement.
I'm looking straight into the camera. I'm not going to guess. I'm hoping that this whole thing works out. Otherwise, we'll have two people looking in the wrong direction. They'll be like, why isn't this right? And we don't even think to switch sides.
It's a trying time, and by the time you watch or listen to this, it's going to be night and day from what it was right now, either in the positive direction, because everyone did kind of what they're supposed to, or in the negative, and people are like, you know what, I'm still going to go out, and I'm still going to touch faces with faces and hands with hands.
You're going to be rubbing faces with people. Oh, yeah.
But all that said, we do have some normalcy to bring you, and some abnormalcy. We got two pieces of fan mail.
Whoa, that's abnormal. Our fans are alive and healthy.
Yeah.
So far.
By the time you're listening, we might need to put another update at the beginning.
Next round of merch. We're no longer doing stickers. We're doing Small Town Radio brand hand soap. What? This is now Small Face Mask Radio.
Not too small. It still covers your mouth and nose.
Here we go. I'm going to...
Have you seen? I am the picture of health over here.
Yeah?
Not coughing once, suppressing all my sickness. I put on so much makeup for this.
I just imagine you with, like, full guy liner or, like, drag makeup, and, like, I don't see you on, like, right now, so, like, you're gonna put the video together and be like, look what I made. I'm like, oh my god, Connor's in drag. No,
that'd be fantastic.
I've had like a little bit of a cough since Wednesday, and I told my boss, I was like, hey, I'm a little concerned about this coronavirus thing. Can I work from home on Thursday and Friday? And she was like, well, I'd like you to come in on, like, tomorrow at least, because I want to have a one-on-one meeting with you about your goals for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I just want you to know that I have a little bit of a cough, and I'm keeping an eye on it, and I just want to be careful. And she was like, oh yeah, stay home. So I am just, like, a little sick, and who knows if it's the Rona, but I might just have a cold. Either way, I've always wanted to role play the siege of Stalingrad. No. All right, let's get to the cheerful stuff. We're here to have a good time and ignore the impending apocalypse.
Yes.
Yes.
We are.
All right. Listener mail.
You want to tackle the first one? I'll get the second.
Yeah, I'll read the first one. The first one is from someone that I understand you are friends with, Mike Karthus.
Mike Karthus. That is correct. The other Coach K.
Oh.
Do you guys coach Karthus, together? As a lot of people call him.
Did you guys coach together? Or?
We did. He's how I got the coaching job. He reached out to me when a position opened up, and then I applied per his recommendation. Oh,
so he's like Coach capital K and you're Coach lowercase k.
That is correct.
Okay, well, Mike Karthus, big Coach K, capital Coach K, Coach capital K, sent us a great piece of fan mail. And let me tell you, every time we get fan mail, I just melt. It makes me so happy. So thank you so much. This one says, "Hi, Maxim and Connor. I'm a little late, but I'd like to let you know that I have officially boarded the ST Radio train. Yeehaw, choo-choo. I'm 15. That's not in his email. That was just me. I'm 15 episodes in and will be caught up in the next week. I'd have to say I love this podcast about as much as Connor loves James Taylor. Unsure about that. I cannot verify.
I feel like that's a conversation we had at some point.
Okay. Like between you and him? Because you haven't told me about James Taylor.
So... I'll explain at the end of the fan mail.
Okay.
Is that the conclusion?
No, we got one more sentence. He goes, "Your chemistry is improving, and I'm even sharing some of your big facts about small towns with my students and athletes. Have a stupendous day, Mike Karthus, Coach capital K." All right, that's so nice. Honestly, as someone who shares trivia and random facts with people constantly... like, this is my favorite. I love you all equally, but this is an amazing piece of fan mail because I want people to share our facts and be excited about the dumb facts we find on the internet about the small towns. So,
you sound like a parent who's like being taken care of when they're older. They're like, "Oh, I love you all equally. But Mike over here is still wiping me, so, you know."
I don't want to say some fans are better than other fans, but Jack Swimer did bake me a casserole.
There's a natural segue there that I'm going to jump over to explain that other point that I was making. So, Mike Karthus and I, we were actually roommates for some time. When I moved back to New Hampshire, I was in Florida for a while after living in New Hampshire, after living in Portland, after living in Eugene. Those two last two are in Oregon. So I moved around a lot, and he very kindly let me stay at his house while I was coaching. And so I was just getting into comedy more seriously, like the second wave of seriousness. And we had a lot of conversations about jokes and stuff like that. And I feel like I started playing James Taylor at some point and we got into the conversation of it. And I forget the details of it, but there are just some things where I would say I love it. And Mike Karthus is the type of person who weighs his word choice and is very intentional with it. And he's like, "Oh, do you really love James Taylor?" And I'm pretty sure this is how when I just doubled down, and every time James Taylor came on, it's like, "I love James Taylor." So,
okay. I've never listened to James Taylor.
Fire and Rain?
Huh?
Carolina on My Mind?
Nope.
Sweet Baby James?
Nope.
Man, you should read the book Fire and Rain. It's a biography about the year 1969 and 1970, and it follows the Beatles, and then it follows Simon and Garfunkel, CSNY, and James Taylor. It's phenomenal.
Okay. I just want to say, you're going to make a phenomenal dad one day, Connor. Because your music choice is like every dad ever.
I'm not going to lie. You were the second person to say that to me this week.
I just dabbed.
You dabbed or you dad?
I dab. Nice to meet you, Dab. I'm Dad.
So,
thanks again. Well, big Coach K, Mike Karthus.
Oh, yes. Thank you. That's right. We say thank. We have manners on this podcast. I have forgotten with the virus.
All human civility is out the window. What you can't see, Connor, is that I'm holding a machete pointed at the screen, I'm shaking down our listeners for their cans of food and their toilet paper.
Huh. That's interesting. That's interesting. It's a good way to get listeners, though.
I think so. They'll be like, oh, wow.
Wow. Man, this guy's machete is scary, but this podcast sounds pretty clean.
I like the double blind setup that I can't see what you're doing, because for all I know, you could be sitting naked on a couch.
That is true.
You could have painted the Patriots logo on your chest, and I would just be sitting here suffering without knowing it.
Actually, well, we gotta wait for them, the Patriots. To begin. Everything's delayed. Everything.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's not like football is happening right now.
The XFL was.
Oh, was. It's funny because the XFL was supposed to be a set of rules to make football safer, and now it's happening during coronavirus. Zing! You played yourself.
Yeah. we have our second piece of fan mail, and it's from Jack Swimer. Mm-hmm. I'd say, you know, the casserole maker, Jack Swimer, I would say he's at that level. And he sent us some photos from Hampstead, New Hampshire, which I am close to now. And we'll be posting those this week.
Awesome.
On Thursday, which is our day to send out the fan photos.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. So just says, I took a little trip to New Hampshire, Hampstead, New Hampshire. Here's some pics, smiley face. And there's some nice photos that you'll see later this week.
Awesome. Well, keep sending them in, guys. We love it. I sent Coach K, not you, Connor. I sent Coach K some stickers for his fan mail. He did give us a town suggestion in a later email, and we'll come back to that at some point, probably. Jack has already received stickers, but we love you, Jack.
Yeah. I would say Jack is definitely the most engaging of our listeners right now.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
If any of you like the show more than Jack, you're going to have to meet up with him and arm wrestle him.
Well, after. Make sure you're wearing gloves at least.
Yeah, wash your hands before and after the arm wrestle. And don't,
please.
When you're straining, yeah. Don't breathe on each other's faces.
Yeah, preferably not. yeah. What is it? We didn't say that we have social media.
Oh, yeah.
Which is on Instagram and Twitter. It's at STRadioPod. And then our Gmail, where you can send us the actual fan mail, is smalltownradiopodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, exactly. We also have a Facebook page now. So you can go ahead and follow that. We'll be posting our videos as they come out. Quick side note, you're probably wondering, how did Sam, our mailman, deliver mail to both New York City and New Hampshire? Well, he works very hard. And
he believes in wizardry.
That he does.
He is a huge fan of Harry Potter. And in quarantine, we'll be reading all of... Oh, sorry. I'm just describing myself right now. I forgot. We're talking about Sam.
Gross.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sam made sure to wash his hands. He came in with a face mask. He was prepared. And then he disapparated.
Very good.
He Avada Kedavra
disapparate and then walked out the door behind him.
Okay, yeah.
But he believes in magic very strongly, and I don't want to dissuade him because, you know, belief is very, very important.
Right. He's actually, it's interesting to watch him get around, because instead of touching doorknobs, because he's very safe, he's disapparating to the other side of the door, which seems like more work than it has to be, but very creative.
Hey, very safe. Very smart.
Very smart.
If you have magic out there, now's a good time to use it.
God help us all.
Okay, town time.
Small, we are small town radio after all.
We are. And my town this week is in, ooh, these are my hoodie tie things are off. My town is in New Hampshire.
Oh boy.
As it says on my sweatshirt. And if you're wondering where it is, it quite is where I am. And so the town this week is Exeter, New Hampshire.
I'm expecting a BS fact, like fact number one, I'm sitting here right now.
No, that was going to be embedded in a different fact, actually.
Okay, continue.
The Exeter, I started doing research and I knew like different bits and pieces, but it has a ton of stuff. So I'm just going to...
Okay.
There's a lot of facts I'm just going to put out there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's interesting. So if you're unfamiliar with Exeter and where I am currently, it is in the seacoast area of New Hampshire. And a surprising number of people have come up to me recently and been like, hey, I actually don't know where New Hampshire is, which...
What?
What? That's terrible.
How do you... I feel like that's such an easy thing to find.
It really is. Because they're like, well, I know it's in like the Northeast. I'm like, if you just look at a map, it's not Maine, it's not Vermont, and it's not Massachusetts, so it's that other one right there.
Okay.
But, yeah, like a surprising number of people like, oh yeah, I didn't really know where it was until I went on a trip there recently, or like, just like, yeah, I'm kind of, like, I know where it is generally, but I couldn't point it out to you. So,
wow. I feel like people are surprisingly ill-acquainted with geography.
Yes.
As someone who loves geography, I can even visualize it because like in the top corner, we have Maine and then it's New Hampshire and then Vermont. And then down to the right is Massachusetts, then Connecticut, mm-hmm. New York State, New Jersey. Rhode Island is in there, too. I didn't forget. Rhode Island is between Massachusetts and Connecticut, if I'm not mistaken. No, I'm completely mistaken. No, I'm not.
You're not mistaken.
I'm not looking at any map. I'm just sitting here in my bedroom looking into my brain.
Is it New Jersey, then Maryland, then West Virginia, Virginia, Georgia? Yeah, let's keep on going.
Whoa,
in New Hampshire.
Whoa. Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida.
I was like, I got to Georgia way too fast.
This is
yeah, the
Carolina
Carolinas.
Erasure, and this is not okay.
We have not talked about the Carolinas yet on this podcast, so I guess it doesn't exist in some ways.
I think I shouted out one place in the Carolinas during the episode with Olivia as the watermelon capital of the world, and that was the only fact about it.
What was it? I think I did maybe a New Year's celebration, or I know they have an interesting one.
The possum drop.
That was North Carolina. That was one of the Carolinas. Yeah, well, Exeter, New Hampshire. So if you know your geography of the East Coast, New Hampshire has like a tiny sliver. Like if this, you know, like the Maine kind of comes up and curves, New Hampshire's a tiny sliver of coast between Maine and Massachusetts. And Exeter's about 10 miles in from that coastal area. So it's in the southeast corner. And the population at the 2010 census was 14,306.
Big boy.
It was estimated that it was 15,317 in 2018. So it's not the smallest, but it still feels like a small town USA if you're here.
I mean, it's funny.
Which I am. I'm here.
It's funny that that's our criteria. Like, we're like, okay, we like to do like under 20,000. That's what makes it small. But if you lived in a city where there's only 40,000 people, still you'd be like, this is a tiny place.
No, I mean, it really is. Like, there's one strip of downtown here and you can walk in about 5 minutes.
Wow.
Which, if you compare that to Hampstead, New Hampshire, there's literally no downtown strip, which is... Oh, yeah. So, but interestingly, there is a census designated place within Exeter, mm-hmm. which is the Exeter census designated place.
Okay.
And it has 9,242 people at the 2010 census. And that's kind of like the urban-ish, urban's a strong word for this, but it's the, like the urban center of Exeter.
Okay.
So CDP within a town. Oh. But fact number one, we're going to go back in time and move our way forward. The area was once the domain of the Swampscott, and it's spelled Squamscott, Swampscott people, mm-hmm. But it's also often mispronounced as Squamscott. I found that out, but that was a
pronounce the proper way.
Swampscott.
So
like a swan with an M and then Scott like Michael
Scott. So there's a Q, but you don't pronounce the Q sound.
Pretty much. The Q should sounds like a W according to what I read online.
Okay.
Doing my pronouncer. So
good work.
Thank you. Yes.
Thorough investigating.
Well, they fished along the falls where the Exeter River becomes the tidal Swampscott. And then, so they were here. And then on April 3rd, 1638, the Reverend John Wheelwright and others purchased the land from Weehang Nonaway, a Sagamore Native American. And then Wheelwright came here because he was exiled from the Massachusetts Bay Colony, which was a Puritan theocracy at the time.
Okay.
And his sister-in-law was Anne Hutchinson. And I don't, does that name ring a bell?
No, it doesn't.
Okay. But if it doesn't ring a bell for you, I'm not going to dive deeper into it. Because it's like, they were just banned for religious reasons. And I remember learning about it in school.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's kind of deeper into the weeds of things.
Yeah, you said the name like I was supposed to know it. And I was like, oh, no, yeah. Here it comes. Like, I'm gonna not know this reference.
I remember. I feel like it was something I learned in high school. But we've talked about it. It's like in high school, you really learn area specific things.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's might be one of them. So, yeah. That's kind of the very origin. 1638 is when Exeter was founded, though. And there's some houses like from not long after that time still in the area and in town and stuff like that, which is pretty cool. Pretty cool. yeah.
Pretty cool. No need cool. To go into the... you said pretty cool, like you're really digging for something interesting over there.
No, I was thinking of Bob Odenkirk. When he's on The Office and he's like the Michael Scott-esque type character, that's what he says.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. And I had this giant punchline after I described who Anne Hutchinson was and why she was banned. And I was going to say, now we're small town religion. And it was going to be really funny. But I just said the punchline without the setup now. So you can laugh.
Ha!
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, audience at home, are you clapping? Did he get an applause break?
just remember, we can see you. So
we can see you. Side note, I need to restart my camera.
Oh, okay.
Give me 3 seconds here. Okay, and we're back.
Nice. Okay, so... fact number two, and we've touched upon this when we had our guest, Trevor Glassman, on. Mm-hmm. So can you remember what this might be?
So fact number two is your good friend, Philip Glassman, got rejected from Philip's Exeter.
Philip Glassman?
Trevor Glassman got rejected from Philip's Exeter.
He did. And so the fact number, circling back to part of that... I'm going to talk about Trevor Glassman exclusively for the next half hour, so stay tuned.
Tune in.
No, Phillips Exeter. Phillips Exeter is a very interesting place, and it's not without its more recent controversies, including some sexual assault stuff that started in the 1970s and kind of has been carried through more recently. But that being said and noted, which I think it's important to note the full history of things when we have the opportunity, Phillips Exeter is a very, very... good high school. It's a private school. Mm-hmm. And it was actually founded in 1781.
Wow.
And by John Phillips. And it was, if you're familiar with New England and the prep schools in the area, there's Phillips Exeter and Phillips Andover. Mm-hmm. And Phillips Andover was actually founded 3 years prior to Phillips Exeter by John Phillips' nephew, which is just, you know, when the rivalry comes up and it's you're at your trivia bar and they say which one came first, you'll say Phillips Andover.
We're trying to help you out, folks. This show is supposed to help you win drink tickets at trivia night, okay? We have you in mind. Don't worry. And yeah, for younger listeners, you'll understand what that means in 2 to 3 years.
It actually, it's such a rewarding thing when you win trivia.
I've never won trivia. Well, I've only done trivia like twice, but I've never won. So.
Oh.
What's your best category besides Harry Potter?
I'm usually pretty solid at sports.
You good at sports?
Yeah, pretty good.
I am really bad at sports, so I feel like me and you would probably make a good team. I'm good at...
It was the best... The group to go with was my junior year, and I had a friend who was in graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in journalism, so like I feel like journalists just have to know a lot of random facts in order to make stories because they're always researching different stuff. And so everyone kind of like had their own thing because we like a science reporter and like a current events type stuff. So it was, we had the
you came
the
out with
thing.
Like
and
a,
so we ran the table a few times.
You came out with like a competitive 5-man team, full build.
We, more or less, we had a dominant team, really.
Wow, but, watch out, folks. If you go in a time machine, don't show up to U of O trivia nights.
Hey, do you know who would kick our asses, though? Is the people that graduate from Phillips Exeter, because approximately 30% of the graduates attend an Ivy League university, Stanford or MIT.
And then what? So they become the ruling class and exploit us, huh?
Well... If you want to hear some of the notable graduates, you might be able to form a better picture. Some of the early alumni of Phillips Exeter include U.S. Senator Daniel Webster, U.S. President Franklin Pierce, Abraham Lincoln's son and 35th Secretary of War Robert Lincoln, Ulysses S. Grant Jr., the grandfather of football, Amos Alonzo Stagg, author Dan Brown, Mark Zuckerberg, and former presidential candidate Andrew Yang. So... Yeah, I'd say some of those people made up what we would say in America is the ruling class.
Yeah, you didn't say a single person that I was like, oh, whoa. Like, I mean, I feel like a lot of those people are people I'm neutral about or bad people. Maybe except for Ulysses S. Grant.
Junior. Ulysses S. Grant Jr.
Neutral. I don't know anything about him. So
U.S. president. They had a president and a president's son.
A president I've never heard of, and then an important president, but I've never heard his son do anything cool, so...
He was the 35th Secretary of War.
Okay.
I just...
Well, I went to Arvada West High School in Arvada, Colorado, public school for the win. I turned out fine. Look at me. I'm wearing a t-shirt from another podcast recording my podcast, Alone in Quarantine. Who's laughing now?
Mark Zuckerberg probably, because he's watching us right now.
Yeah, he's data mining. He's like, ooh, what is this ad for this show called Small Town Radio? Better click it and subscribe to their YouTube channel.
That was a good plug. That was really smooth.
You know, when I get heated, I plug.
Well,
you won't like me when I'm angry.
You're not impressed by that. Maybe you'll be impressed by this. According to a former governor of New Hampshire, Hugh Gregg, not to be mistaken with now alive person, Hugh Grant, who is not American. So Hugh Grant was governor from 1953 to 1955. And he claims the United States Republican Party was born in Exeter on October 12th, 1853.
Wow, you're not making a strong case for liking this town.
Well, if you don't know why the Republican Party was founded, it might change your mind because
it's Civil War stuff, isn't it? It's Civil War stuff, isn't it?
Well, kind of. They were really for they were founded around the anti-Nebraska movement, and the Nebraska movement was trying to allow slavery into the territories. So this Republican Party, which is now has now chosen Donald Trump to be its lead, was once the party that was really pushing against slavery. And if you remember quite correctly, Abraham Lincoln, whose son went to Phillips Exeter, was the first Republican president and abolished slavery. So,
all right,
the party has changed over time.
Fine. Let's have a moment of silence for the Republican Party.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad for them. I don't feel bad for them at all. I just hate them. We don't get political on this podcast, except for when Max gets political.
Well, it's just, yeah, the Republican Party, a lot of people forget that the party's basically switched at a point in time where the Republican Party was a lot more progressive. And then sometime after the Civil War, basically red states turned blue and blue states turned red and ideologies kind of swapped.
I'd be curious which is an interesting to learn part of about
American
that.
History.
I wonder when that actually took place and why.
I it's like I can kind of point it out, but I can't talk about it without definitely getting some major facts wrong. But like, if you think about it too, the Republican Party was the first party to push for universal health care as well, which a lot of people forget about.
Wow, that would have been nice.
Yeah, I mean, right about it almost it would have. It almost happened like a few different times. I think. Yeah, let's not dive too deep into that. But the big takeaway, the controversy here is when I Googled more about the Republican Party, it says that it was actually founded about a year later in Ripton, Wisconsin. But I don't know if there's like first discussions in Exeter and then not like the actual forming it of it in Wisconsin. No, so
Wisconsin is where
way,
they
moving on.
Wisconsin's where they bought the elephant.
Jeez. So fact number four, I'll do these last two pretty quick. So we had in 1974 the Blue Ribbon Sports. Oh, now I'm Blue Ribbon Sports. Wait a minute. Ribbon Sports. Yeah, so Blue Ribbon Sports, right?
You doing okay over there, champ? Doing all right?
Yeah. I had everything. So Blue Ribbon Sports, which I'm double checking, but this company, BRS, bought a factory started producing shoes in a factory in Exeter in 1974. And it was its first factory. And later on, BRS became which company? Nike.
Ooh.
The first U.S. Nike factory was in Exeter, New Hampshire. And then in this time between 74 and 81, BRS transitioned into Nike. And Exeter actually became the home of Nike's research and development. So... and now that factory is apartments in the town of Exeter.
That's kind of cool, though. I like that. That's a neat fact. Let me ask you this. What's your preferred brand of running shoe? What do you run with?
ASICS, oh, okay. Usually?
That seems like the if you're a serious runner, those seem like the choice. Yeah,
Nikes are good performance shoes, and it is Blue Ribbon Sports. I had BRS written out, but it is Blue Ribbon Sports. Perhaps I just didn't want to get that wrong.
Blue Ribbon Sports.
But Nikes are definitely good for competing. I'd say their trainers are not as strong, but they make like good sports shoes overall.
My running shoes are Nike, and I'm not a serious runner like you, but I run at the gym and run from my problems. Just kidding. But they have like a little, like they're like the Zoom, Nike Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Six.
I think I had those at one point.
I forgot what they're called, but they're custom made, but they have like a little pointy triangle on the back for aerodynamics. And it's something.
Does a triangle make shoes aerodynamic?
It's like the sole of the shoe is like a wave, and then it comes to a point in the back. So where your heel is, there's like a little pointy ridge back there, and they look pretty cool. But I get the heel caught on stairs sometimes when I go down them, and then I just wince because I'm like, these are expensive shoes, and they're designed to catch on things and destroy themselves.
Wait, you run in like nice Nikes?
I mean, on the treadmill. So like when I work out, when I was lifting before, all I have are like my Vans and like some like street style like Adidas. So like I didn't have anything to like actually run on the treadmill with that was good for my feet. So I got some better running shoes.
If you were in New Hampshire in the late 70s, you could get yourself some Nikes.
I bet I'm not going to look it up for the point of time, but I'm guessing the original like blue ribbon shoes are probably pretty expensive now. They're probably like collector's items.
Oh, the original? Yeah. Like, I mean, blue ribbons hasn't been around since the 70s, and shoe design technology has changed dramatically.
But I feel like sneakerheads would be like one of those like prize items. Like, these were the Nikes before Nikes. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But I know Nike. I like the history of Nike. That actually connects with Eugene, Oregon.
It does.
Where, yeah. Well, moving on to our last fact here.
Finally.
we have, and I think this will catch your interest.
Mm-hmm.
Exeter has been hosting an event since either 2009 2000, or 2010, depending on which website you look at, to celebrate the 1965 Exeter incident. Ooh. And if you're unfamiliar, in September 1965, Exeter earned a place in UFO history when two Exeter police officers and another teenager, well, the police officer weren't teenagers, and another person who was a teenager saw a bright red UFO at close range. Their sighting attracted national publicity and became the focus of a best-selling book, Incident at Exeter. And the Air Force eventually admitted to the three men that it had been unable to identify the strange object they had observed, and is still considered by many UFO buffs to be one of the most impressive UFO sightings on record.
Wow, that's cool.
And to lessen the cool, the incident technically happened a town over, but it's called the Exeter incident, so I figured, you know, it kind of mixes in. But now Exeter celebrates, when they celebrate the Exeter incident, which they will be this year, August 31st to September 1st, the donations that come in for the UFO festival will go to children's charities in the area.
Okay.
So
that's cool. They, like, I like
put
that.
Aliens, blow up aliens, like inflatable ones around town, and like have all this stuff going on. So
cool. I'm into that. There's a place in Colorado called the UFO Watchtower where it's down the San Luis Valley, and there's like tons of UFO sightings down there. And you can just camp at this watchtower, and it's like a dome shaped building with like a fence material platform on top of it. And you can just go up there at night and you have a 360 degree view of this huge open valley, and you can just like look at the stars and stuff. It's super cool. Love me some aliens.
Mm-hmm. That's Exeter, home of the Republican Party and aliens. Sometimes not mutually exclusive.
They are lizards, after all. The Republican Party is entirely comprised of lizards. Good stuff. Thank you for your research.
Thank you.
I hope your feet.
Welcome home to Exeter, everyone. This is where we'll be for quarantine.
What's outside your window right now in Exeter?
My backyard. Well, my parents' backyard.
Describe your backyard.
Grass.
Is it
a white?
It's not woodsy.
Fence, a shed. It's not very big.
Is it woodsy?
No, you can. There's some trees between the houses on the other side of the fence.
Okay. Sounds nice.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about, I wish all the brownstones in New York City that we all live in, I wish the backyards were like actually open to the residents as opposed to just always being a garbage heap for the landlord. Be nice.
There's some places. Apparently my apartment's going to be transitioning into that soon.
Wait, they're going to transition to a garbage heap?
No. From garbage heap to tiny, tiny patch of grass.
They have like a little yard somewhere out there.
Yeah, like a courtyardish type thing.
That'd be nice. I feel like honestly people would be in a better mood if they had access to these little industrial era backyards behind their buildings.
I feel like people would be in a better mood if there wasn't a pandemic going on.
Hey, don't let the pandemic get you down. There are still things to be positive about, like
around town.
Like doing push-ups in your bedroom, getting prison fit. What are we gonna do? Some quick sponsors?
Yeah, who do you got?
Well, seeing as the current situation is what it is, today I'm brought to you by face masks and washing your hands and universal healthcare and socialism. This whole event has proven to us that the areas which America is bad at not only affects America, but the entire world. You're only as strong as your weakest link, and if we don't have healthcare and a global pandemic happens and we all die, guess what? Everyone's economy is ruined. So, that's my sponsor.
I thought of two sponsors. And I laughed, so I broke the punchline. The first sponsor is brought to you by Soapboxes. Here's yours.
This is why no one listens to the show. They're like, these are great facts, but sometimes Maxim says some stuff I don't necessarily agree with.
My true sponsor, though. That was the joke sponsor. They're not actually paying me. The people who are paying me this week are sweatshirts with "Where You Are" written on the front. This sweatshirt, minus the University of, says exactly where I am, which is New Hampshire. And do you remember that thing I said last episode about never leaving your hometown? Well, it's true now.
Never leave it. As soon as things get hard and your city goes under siege, run to your hometown.
Run to any small town. Hey, do you know where it's probably pretty safe
where?
Right now? And I'm not suggesting people go there because the resident is older.
Mm-hmm.
Manawai.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That one's in Nebraska, right?
Oh, it is.
Last time you said, oh, I was the first one to do a town in Nebraska. And it got me thinking. I was like, oh, yeah, right. Manawai. It's
But that's its own thing, you know? That's the best. It's the cream of the crop.
Petition to make Manawai its own state?
The quarantine state.
Protect Elsie at all costs.
Yeah, so that's it. Where are we going with you today?
Well, I am very excited to announce that I think I am checking another state off our list. Today, we are going to Pella, Iowa.
Iowa.
Which is a city, I'm so sorry, in central Iowa. The population, 10,335. And I didn't think I was going to win the small town award this episode, but I did.
Yeah, and that just goes to show that towns come in all shapes and names, including cities.
I'm going to throw this out there because I did found some fun ones. Last night, when I was looking for towns, I was looking around Alabama, and it was kind of tough to nail down a good one, but there was some... I found one with a good name. The town name is Our Town. And the whole article about it says, the town's name comes from the guy who first established the town. And he said, it's not your town, it's not my town, it's our town.
I love that. I love it when it's named after something the founder said and didn't think would ever have any relevance.
Absolutely. Such as the... Geez, what was the one we did on the lightning round?
Tightwad.
Tightwad. I was like, I don't want to say it's dipshit because it's definitely not dipshit. Anyway, coming back. Okay, so this is Pella, Iowa, central Iowa, population 10,335. Okay, so this place is like kind of a Dutch city. A lot of Dutch people came here and settled. So they actually speak their own type of Dutch called Pella Dutch, similar to how in the Amish speak their own type of German. No, Dutch. Mm-hmm. It's also Dutch. It's like Pennsylvania Dutch or whatever. So yeah, this is a Dutch place. Pella, Iowa is home to the Vermeer Mill. It's a fully functional 1850s style windmill. It's 134 feet tall, and it does what windmills are supposed to do. It grinds wheat into flour using only wind power. And right now, it's the tallest working windmill in the United States.
Wow. See, I thought the windmill is where NBA players went to prepare for the dunk contest.
I thought a windmill was something that George Corpse Grinder Fisher did on stage when he's playing with his band Cannibal Corpse.
that reference went over my
head. Yeah, your reference went over my head too, okay?
What do you think is a little bit more universally known? Cannibal Corpse or hear me out, the NBA?
Don't underestimate the popularity of Cannibal Corpse. But I don't know.
You mean
know.
The Donner Party?
Huh?
You mean the Donner Party?
Okay. What is the windmill you're talking about?
The windmill dunk?
Is that the one that Jordan is famous for?
I was trying to look it up. I know.
Or is it the one where like you pass the ball between your legs and catch it and then dunk? Or is it like first, around the back or what?
No, windmill's with the arm.
I know it's with your arms, but what do you do with your arms?
Dominique Wilkins popularized the powerful windmills. Yeah, Dominique Wilkins, great dunker. One of the best dunkers.
Better than the donut dunkers of the Northeast?
Well, there's the honey dip, which when you put your whole elbow in the rim and you hang there.
Elbow deep. That sounds dangerous to hang from your whole elbow.
Yeah, but that's why you go out to Iowa to practice your dunks at the biggest windmill
in the
U.S.
Listeners, listen, if you're passing through Iowa, I want you to pop by this place. It's in central South Iowa. It should be easy to get to. And when you come across this 134-foot tall windmill, I want you to dunk it. I want you to dunk on this windmill. Do that whole jump. It shouldn't be too hard.
Or Cannibal Corpse.
Or, yeah, just do a windmill headbang in front of it to Sarcophagic Frenzy. Or Demented Aggression. Or Hammer Smashed Face. Pick your favorite.
Did you just say Hammer Smash Face?
Oh, yeah. That's actually one of Cannibal Corpse's like most popular songs.
Oh, I thought that was a dance move. And I was like, wow, that is very accurate to what exactly it is.
Yep, it's a move where you stumble out onto the dance floor and your skull is broken and you're bleeding from your eyes. But this is not that type of podcast. This is a family-friendly podcast. So speaking of family-friendly, the annual Tulip Time Festival. Okay. Did I lose you?
No.
Okay. So the annual...
I was waiting for the transition to go through.
Okay. I mistakenly waited for a laugh break. Very foolish move in stand-up. Huh? Huh, guys? Huh? Okay. So this place, Pella, Iowa, is home to the annual Tulip Time Festival, which is a celebration of Pella's Dutch heritage. It features tulip gardens, performances, crafters, music, food, Dutch costumes, and daily parades. It's held for 3 days during the first weekend in May, so it's coming up. Hopefully it's not canceled, which would be a huge bummer. Coronavirus yeah. Time Festival.
Yeah.
For every festival, a queen and court are selected from two high schools in the area to represent Pella and advertise the festival. So instead of prom king and queen, you have tulip time, queen and court. Which
I like that.
Is kind of fun, yeah. I like to imagine it's also not a popularity contest. It's also just who can grow the best flower. And they're like, you are clearly the queen of tulips.
The Green Thumb Queen.
The Green Thumb Queen. In front of the green screen.
I'm not going to lie. I have been pursing my two lips while you were talking.
Yeah?
Yeah.
In shame?
No, in good. A lot of different looks.
Pursing your lips cheeky? In good?
Yeah, it looks good. Right?
Yeah, I forgot to hydrate before recording because I was so stressed out about getting my setup correct that I have been pursing my lips because my lips are chapped. Okay. Back to facts. This one's a fun one. So during the 2010 festival, a world record was set for the most people in dancing in wooden shoes.
No, that's really cool.
How many people do you think danced?
Four.
You have a pretty low expectation.
Hey, I don't know how often people dance with wooden shoes.
2,600.
Wow.
2,600 people danced for 6 minutes to set the new world record.
Hmm.
Can you imagine how scraped up that floor would be?
Yeah. Whole new definition to cutting a rug.
Yeah. I had a buddy in high school, Alex, rest in peace, who got a pair of wooden shoes at a thrift store. And he would walk around high school in the wooden shoes. And he was like, one day he comes up to me and we had this big ramp in the commons that was like maybe 50 feet long at a gentle slope to get down to the office. And he goes, the janitor says I need to stop walking in my wooden shoes because I'm scratching the floor. And then he gets a running start and just slides all the way down the ramp.
That's a baller move.
It is. He was a total baller. Okay. I'm going to come up with my last fact here. Pella was the town or the childhood home of the famous Wyatt Earp. Do you know him?
Mm-hmm. He was good friends with Anne Hutchinson, right?
Can't confirm. So Wyatt Earp, if you don't know, I don't know. If you don't know, he's a very famous Old West lawman, and he was one of the lawmen involved in the shootout at the OK Corral in Tombstone, Arizona.
Oh.
Which is the most famous Old West shootout. Like you see in the movies, the shootouts that happened. This one is what they're pretty much all like based off. This was the real event that people were like so drawn to because it's so accurate, like not accurate, but it was like a very romanticized portrayal of like what the Old West was like. When in fact, the shootout only lasted about 30 seconds. Very short.
I feel like how many people were involved in the shootout?
It was like, I think it was like 6 people. Here, I got it right here. There were there were 5 outlaws and 4 lawmen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Depends on how good of a shot, I guess, people are. But still, I'm not a fan of guns.
I am all for gun control, but I am also like, have you ever shot a gun? Exhilarating.
No, I've played a guitar. That's a lot of fun, too.
Are you telling me you've never shot a gun?
Yeah, I've never shot a gun.
Wow.
I would have to drive to a range, and then I don't even understand the whole like going to like I don't understand driving unnecessarily.
You know what I don't understand? Having to restart my camera real quick.
Oh. I understand it. I understand how time works. Can we do a countdown again? Because I definitely used my fingers last time.
Okay, I'm back online.
Oh, I missed that.
It's countdown. Kind of hard to I should have given you some more warning.
Okay. That's okay.
Well, those are my 3 facts about Pella, Iowa. So it's a Dutch place. They speak their own type of Dutch. They got the Tulip Time Festival, the world's tallest working windmill, and Wyatt Earp. Earp. Arp.
The tallest windmill dunk. What a good fact. Those are different noises that I thought was going to transition to something else. You know, have you ever done that? Have you ever just made noises just to see if something else is going to come out afterwards?
No, but I know you do that a lot because I have to edit our audio.
I do that all the time. Sometimes I do it when I'm about to sit down. And that's just a sign of getting old.
It's funny editing our audio, though, because I know how chronically you go, yeah. There's definitely like when I feel silence, I typically am like, okay, like I kind of do like an you just like,
I feel the whole thing with a full range of noises. I really do. It's only going to get worse as I get older. I know it.
You won't believe the range on this podcast, host.
So that's it. Well, do you have a joke for us today?
Oh, man. I do. I've been writing some one-liners for funsies. And I'll give you whatever one-liner I can think of in the next few seconds. But the first one I think of is one that I actually really like because we talk about a place with a tulip festival. If flowers could talk, they would ask for some personal space. Because people are always smelling them, you know.
I thought I was going in a different direction. Because I thought I was going, if tulips could talk, if flowers could talk, they'd use their two lips.
Holy shit, that's way better than what I have.
I'm the punster. That's going to be my tagline after jokes from now on. Rough, rough. I'm a punster.
Punster. If
it doesn't go over well, I'm going to go, rough, rough. I'm a dumpster.
Oh, geez. I think you could reference Eddie Munster somehow from the, I think it's the Addams Family.
I think so.
Yeah. You could do that. Like, if I was on a show, a black and white TV show from the 60s, I'd be Eddie Punster. I will say your flower punchline was so much better than mine that I'm like mad about.
Jealousy. Comedy's cousin.
Jealousy, comedy's cousin. Comedy, murder, same thing. Comedy, jealousy, same thing. Okay, I got another one that I'll do.
Okay.
What is pulled pork anyway? Pigs can't vote in elections.
Pulled. Do you say pulled pork?
Yeah.
Like pole, like a pole, like a fishing pole?
Yeah, no, like P-O-L-L-E-D.
Polled pork?
Yeah, like exit poll. Like you're the polled people.
Oh, because I was thinking, I heard polled pork, and I was like, I don't. What is polled pork?
It's a thinker, apparently.
Polled.
Okay, it's rude to, you're not allowed to yell fire in a movie theater because it's rude to talk during a movie.
That's true.
All right, these jokes killed it on my quarantine video mic I've been having.
The jokes. They're like my jokes.
Yeah, I mean, when I write one-liners, they tend to all be really goofy. And like a lot of them are animal-themed. I talked to you about this. Like one I wrote, I think I might have told you this one, is like, why do we say early bird gets the worm? Are birds known for being late? All right, I can't do any more of these. I'm just being met with silence. This is brutal. Well, that was Small Town Radio.
That was. We have social media.
Follow us.
Which you should follow. You should subscribe to this channel.
Yep.
I think it's actually technically over here.
Oh, should I point to the middle of the screen or the top of the... I'm pointing all around.
I'll put a button somewhere. It might be here.
There's a button somewhere on the screen. I don't know where it is because Connor does the video.
YouTube's an interesting endeavor. What is it? We have so on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. At SD Radio Pod.
And Twitter.
At SD Radio Pod.
Find us on Facebook at Small Town Radio. And you can send us an email, which is smalltownradiopodcast@gmail.com.
I'm so proud of you. You're knocking it out of the park with these social media plugs.
I'm hitting, as you would say, a home run. And that's Fenway Park in the background.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't see, but I appreciate your joke. I think your joke is adorable.
Would you say it's a slam dunk?
I would say that. Okay. Is that all we're going to do?
I think so.
All right. Bye.
Bye.